Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, welcome back to the Midday Show with Rick and John. Just chopping it up in the Kia Studios. And it is time to welcome in 92.9thegame.com's Knox Bardeen for our weekly Barbershop Bickerfest. And Knox, I'm simply going to start with this. Oklahoma State, what in the heck? Every year, they stub their toe. They lose a game that they're not supposed to lose. I've been telling you this the whole season. I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's why I didn't have Rudolph high in my Heisman rankings. That's why I didn't have Okie State, as you guys said, high enough in my overall rankings. And here we go. They get stomped by TCU. You got some splaining to do, Knox.
I don't know that I do. It was a loss. But was it really a stub your toe? That TCU team looks like it's a legit team.
They were a 13-point favorite, Knox.
But that's
13 points.
But that's kind of like saying Mississippi State was a legit 17 seed coming into Athens, and they weren't. So TCU wasn't a legit 13-point underdog either.
I agree with that. That was a bad line.
This is a much better team. I think we're going to look back at this in a few weeks and say, wow, that loss wasn't so bad for Oklahoma State.
Hey, John, I've been noticing, speaking of that, a lot of bad lines from Las Vegas. Like Pittsburgh -7.5 at Chicago. That was never in play from the moment that game started. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And granted, you and I, a lot of swing and misses last week. So I want to take my shots at Vegas. But come on, 13 points, that was a total diss of TCU.
Well, we took it in the shorts. And I think a lot of that had to do with TCU. People looked and said, well, Oklahoma State put a number on Pittsburgh. And whether you like Pittsburgh or not, and Georgia Tech showed once again that Pitt's not very good, playing football this year. You still figured that TCU was going to have their problems with Mason Rudolph and James Washington and company. This final score doesn't indicate how dominant TCU was. We asked last week, can TCU be physical? Yes. They answered that question. Could they take time of possession away from Oklahoma State? Yes. They answered that question. And by doing so, they kept Mason Rudolph and company off the field. And that's why TCU now is a team that has flown into the top 10 here at our 92.9 The Game rankings.
So it's our weekly Barbershop Bickerfest with Knox Bardeen of 92.9thegame.com. And I wrote down here for Bicker Topics, is Clemson and Alabama still a debate? Because I wasn't sure that it was. And then I look at the rankings here, and by golly, it is still a debate. John, you have Clemson number one. You've got Bama number two. I've got Bama one, Clemson two. And in Knox, you've got Bama one and Clemson two. So, John, just tell me why. I think it's tight. I'm a Clemson fan this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that mad that they had to have a fourth quarter sort of pull away to get that win against BC. But to me, man, and we called it, Bama going into Vandy and smothering them. Why do you still have Clemson above Alabama?
Some of us even called a shutout. I said Bama wins by shutout. I said it was going to be, I said 31 stink. I didn't think it'd be 59. My thing is still body of work. I'll change it some on a week-to-week basis, but Clemson still has the more impressive two wins, with a win at home against Auburn and a win on the road the way they dominated Louisville. Suddenly, the Florida State win, and I get it, that was with DeAndre Francois, but Florida State loses to NC State. They're a winless team. Yeah, you go to Vandy and win, but did anybody really think Vandy was going to win that football game? I know I didn't, Rick. I know you didn't. So I just didn't feel like doing the week-to-week flip-flop. And now Clemson's going to have another monster game this week on the road against Virginia Tech. For me, if they're able to go up there and win that game, they'll solidify number one to me potentially for the rest of the year if they stay undefeated.
John, let me say this, and we'll bring in Knox. It's our weekly Barbershop Bickerfest. If Clemson beats Virginia Tech, I'll be super impressed. And Alabama this week is home against Ole Miss. They're going to win that game by however many points. So that would be, because I've said I'm on Clemson. I want to kind of try to move them ahead of Alabama, but I need to see more. If they beat Vautech, that would be the more.
And Vautech has a great defense. So I like that win there if Clemson goes in and does that. But I think I'm not about to sit here and tell you that Vanderbilt is a good football team. They are, however, a really good defense. And for Alabama to go in, we all thought they were going to win, but we were all asking, can Vandy cover? Well, Vandy couldn't cover, and Alabama actually put up 59 points, only allowed that offense 3 first downs. That win was extremely impressive to me, not because it was Alabama, but because it was so dominating against that Alabama defense.
So I'm going to go back to something you just said. Virginia Tech's defense, let me see it against a team that matters, because the one team they played with a pulse, West Virginia moved the ball up and down the field and had a chance to win at the end. Virginia Tech's defense has now been beaten up on Old Dominion, big deal. They beat up on East Carolina, who might be the worst FBS program there is right now, and they beat up on Delaware, and the Delaware game was actually a fourth quarter game, so I'm not overly sold on what Virginia Tech is defensively yet. Stop Clemson, we'll have the conversation, but the one team they played that could actually move the ball, they didn't stop them.
It's our weekly Barbershop Bickerfest with Knox Barnett of 92.9thegame.com. Go to our awesome website, and you will see our aggregated top tens and the Heisman rankings. We'll get to those in a minute. I mean, it's Conti, Goforth, John, Bo Morgan, Jeff, Chuckery, Fricky, me, Bunker, Gebhardt, Wendy, Knox. These are the people who are voting on this stuff, so it's a nice comprehensive list. And, guys, I downgraded Penn State, and it wasn't necessarily – I mean, it obviously wasn't about Saquon Barkley – and I'm not really that mad. They went into a tough spot, Kinnick Stadium at night, and got the win. So I'm not mad at them. But just, and I know McSorley was clutch, but throughout the game, I'm just shaking my head at McSorley, making plays, holding onto the ball too long, getting sacked, getting balls knocked down at the line. It really discouraged me for Penn State and my overall outlook for them. So that's why I dropped him a couple spots. How about you guys?
See, I had him at 7 a week ago, and I think I dropped him one only because I had Georgia leapfrog him. Oklahoma State out. I had TCU in. I think Georgia's wins enough to bring them up. Winning in Iowa, you'll look back at that game 6 weeks from now and go, that's a damn good win for Penn State. And I know McSorley, you're absolutely right, Rick. He did not play well. He looked scatterbrained a little bit. I think the pressure got to him. I think the fact that there was a raucous crowd there at Kinnick Stadium, as you mentioned, that really got to him as well. Penn State's a team that we'll find out in a couple of weeks when they go Michigan, Ohio State back-to-back. Are they a playoff contender or are they a pretender?
And I dropped him only one spot. I had him at 4, and they're now at 5. Not so much because of that near miss, and boy, was that a huge near miss. But Washington, who I moved up to number 4 in my rankings, is, you know, going and playing that game and winning how they did. I didn't take anything really away from Penn State. I just added something to Washington.
That's a really good call. Washington had very impressive wins. So I dropped Penn State from 3. And, you know, I had them probably as highly ranked as anybody in our rankings, but I dropped them down to 6. I kept USC the same at 5. I bumped Oklahoma up from 3, from 5 to 3, and I bumped Washington up as well. I thought the Oklahoma win was pretty impressive. I get it, it's Baylor, who doesn't have a win yet, but Baylor was in that to win that, and then Oklahoma went, boom, they just throttled down the boat, got up to about, on plane at about 70 miles an hour, and didn't look back. I kind of like that victory on the road.
I'm very unimpressed with what they did. Baylor scored at will. They were throwing the ball all over the field against Oklahoma. They were up 24-10, 28-10, I forgot the score. And then all of a sudden you look up and Baylor's down a touchdown. And you go, how the heck is this happening? And the run game really bailed Oklahoma out. They had a couple of backs really roll. I still have Oklahoma at number 3. What they did at Ohio State, and now I'm more into the body of work than just an individual week-to-week basis. Their body of work is still very impressive if you're an Oklahoma fan. Suddenly you look and go, uh-oh, the game against TCU is going to be huge. And the Okie State game, because it's a rivalry, it's going to be monstrous no matter what. What's interesting to me is the dichotomy between the rankings for all of us. I see people that still have Penn State number 3. Chris Goforth, Jeff Benedict. But then there's people, I have them, John Fricke and Mike Conti. We all have them at number 8. So Penn State's all over the mat. Washington
Conti's
goes
from, a Penn State alum, and he's got them at 8. What does that tell you?
Washington's as high as 3. They're also as low as 8. Georgia's as high as 4, and they're as low as 8, I think is the lowest that we have them. And then USC's as high as 4, and they're all the way down at number 10. It's amazing to look at this, Knox, the way that people are voting on these.
Not only does someone have USC, it's Chuckery has USC at 10, but two people, Jeff Benedict and John Fricke, didn't put them in their top 10.
Come on.
Now, I understand, and I have USC at 8. I dropped them a little bit. I understand that they haven't put together 4 quarters of great football yet. But you can see certain spatterings of excellence coming from them. Mm-hmm. And when they figure it out, and we're not expecting college football teams to have everything figured out in week 3. You probably would rather have it in week 8 or 9. They will eventually get there, and I think we'll look back at USC not being in our top 10 and kind of laugh at that.
Well, in terms of I want to see where these guys have Penn State. You know, 8 for Fricke, but then he has USC out. Because to me, USC has played some really tough competition. And the gut check win against Texas feels a little bit like that gut check win against Iowa, right?
Absolutely.
Like I mean, you're supposed to beat Iowa if you're Penn State, and if you're USC, you're supposed to win that game. But I think it's absolutely nuts. If USC was 3-1, I get it. They got an L. Get them out of the top 10. They're 4-0. And by the way, you guys, I don't know if you guys have seen Cal play. Cal has a new defensive coordinator that came over from Wisconsin. They're playing nasty smash-mouth defense right now. Cal is a tough out. That was actually a really good win by USC without three starters last weekend.
We still have two people that have Ohio State ranked. That would be Jeff Benedict and Wendy Adams. Wendy also does not have TCU in her top 10. How do you not put TCU? You could say what you want, what you believe about Oklahoma State, but coming into this week, Oklahoma State was a certified top 7 team in every poll out there. TCU went on the road and throttled them. They're absolutely, I have them number 5. I think TCU.
You have TCU 5?
Absolutely.
Wow. Because
I had Oklahoma State 5 a week ago.
Holy
mackerel. You go on the road and win by 13, you earn my respect.
Interesting. Let's talk dogs here for a second. It's our weekly barbershop picker fest. And in college football season, we kind of make it all about that with our rankings and our Heisman rankings that are up right now at 929thegame.com. Fricky and I were the first to have Georgia, you know, high in our rankings. We had them at 7. I have bumped up. I actually haven't bumped up Georgia. I have them at exactly 7. John has bumped them up all the way to number 4, John Fricke. So where do you guys have Georgia right now?
I put them at 6, and I think that's their first. It definitely is their first entry for me as Georgia into this top 10. Huge leap, and that was a pretty big win, even though I don't think Mississippi State was as quality as we all thought they were.
I have them at number 7, and I think, again, it goes to body of work. Notre Dame, yeah, they're a top 25 team. Mississippi State's still a top 25 team. Georgia's one of only two programs right now that's beaten two teams ranked in the top 25 this week. The only other one is Clemson, who has the win against Auburn and the win against Louisville. So you have to reward them. Now, don't stub your toe against a bad Tennessee team. Georgia fans, I know Brian Gebhardt said this. I know Mark Owens on vacation, wherever he's at. This is the trap game for Georgia because this is not a good Tennessee team. Go take care of your business. You'll be undefeated when you play Florida.
So here's why I have not moved Georgia up from 7 to 6 or whatever. I believe that there's a firm top 6 in college football. I've been saying it all year. I never put Oklahoma State into that 6. It's Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Penn State, Washington, and USC. I think that is a firm top 6. And I think 7 on down, I think you draw a line from the Georgias and the Michigans and the TCUs and the Virginia Techs. I think there's a top 6, and then you draw a line.
I only disagree with the one team. I'm not sure if UGA and USC played right now, who would win that game. I think that's a coin flip.
I mean, I tend to agree with you.
Let's talk some Heisman, though, and this is something. I know we got about a minute and a half left here in this segment. The Heisman, to me, is a two-guy race, and everything else, you're just throwing crap to the wall and make sure it sticks. It's Saquon Barkley and it's Baker Mayfield, and you can put them in whatever order you want.
I agree. So who didn't have either Barkley or Mayfield, 1 or 2?
John Chuckery has Mason Rudolph at number 2.
Come on, Chuckery. And for the love of God.
Matter of fact, he has Saquon Barkley at 4. Let's take his Heisman vote away.
Chuckery, you're my homie, man, but come on. What CFP is he watching this year?
Well, and Conte has Baker Mayfield 4th as well, so that kind of skewed him. But let's get into it more egregious.
Hold on. Yeah, Jeff Benedict?
Jeff Benedict does not have Baker Mayfield on his Heisman list.
No.
And I actually have a reason why here, because I went out Saturday, watched a couple games with him, and his beef is, well, the Heisman isn't just an on-the-field award. You know, there's some off-the-field stuff, too. And you can't just go plant your flag in someone else's field. You can't
stop it.
And you can't tell someone you're going to spank them. I'm not voting for him on my Heisman list.
Are you kidding me?
That's why.
He voted for Lamar Jackson halfway through the year last year, didn't he, John?
Yeah, he has Lamar Jackson 2. He has Rashad Penny from San Diego State 3 and Jake Browning 4. He doesn't even have a number 5.
By the way, I have Browning 5th on my list. You guys, it took me a half hour to find a guy to put number 5 on my list, and like by process of elimination, and I go with the only undefeated guys. If you got an L, you're off my list. It's just kind of how I roll. So I put Browning on there, but I'm not feeling good about it.
I put Taquan Marshall at the end. It was sort of the similar thing, and I just went back and go, you know what? He probably has the best, one of the two or three best quarterback games of the year, so I put him at number 5.
Just remember that the Heisman is not a team award. It's an individual award. You're allowed to lose a football game and win the Heisman.
No, well, I mean, a game, but like John and I have talked about, if you have a 0-1 or 2 in the loss column, I'll mess with you for the Heisman. If you've lost 3 games, I'm not messing with you for the Heisman.
It's interesting, but right now, overall, it's Saquon Barkley 1, Baker Mayfield 2, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen, and Mason Rudolph is how it's voted here on our rankings. We'll take a break. We come back. We dive back into the NFL. Knox, great stuff as always. Falcons are 3-0, but is there anything you'd like to see them fix? That's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.